How can God hate if He is a God of love? Find out today on Change by Grace. Welcome to Change by Grace. I'm Pastor Steve Herford. The things that God hates are the title of our new study. The Bible teaches that God not only loves, but there are things that He hates. And today we're looking at two of those seven things that He hates: pride and lying. How does God respond to pride and lying? Well, let's find out as we study from Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17. New Song had a very popular song some years back, and the chorus went like this: I, me, my, mine. Four words that spell decline. I, me, my, mine. You know, pride is one of the things that children learn very early on, right? And it's coupled with covetousness, isn't it? This is mine. You can't have it. This is mine. And let me tell you, pride is associated with all that as well. We don't have to teach people how to sin. They're doing very good on their own. We've got to teach people how to be righteous. We've got to teach people how to honor Jesus, right? We know how to sin, and we do it very well, don't we? But we need to understand that all sin, including pride, is against God. Now, notice some other things that it produces, because the Bible does tell us some things. In its path of destructiveness, it does produce things. One of those things it produces is shame. Notice Proverbs 11 and verse 2. It says, when pride comes, then comes shame. But with the humble is wisdom. Shame comes to those who are filled with pride. Because listen, after a while, your pride will cause you to come low. Your pride will be found out. And it will produce shame in your life. The next thing it produces strife. Have you been around people that are prideful, that are nothing but striving, quarreling? Proverbs 13:10 says, by pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. See, pride has nothing good to offer us. Pride has nothing good to offer our relationship to Christ. It does everything to destroy that relationship. It does everything to tear us down. I want you to notice that in that passage there in Proverbs, it says a proud look. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to address a proud look. It's okay to look nice. Some of us linger a little long in front of the mirror, admiring what we see, don't we? You know, the Bible says that Scripture is a mirror. And when you look into that mirror, you know what it shows you? It shows you your sin. It shows you how ugly you really are. You know what I mean? Now, don't misunderstand me. God's created a beautiful creation here, hasn't He? He's created man in His image. But sin has messed up that image, hasn't it? I used to hear someone say one time, a preacher a long time ago, used to say, sin will make you ugly. And I've been around a lot of people that must be really sinning because they sure are ugly. But it will make you everything that God doesn't want you to be. Pride is a loser. And listen, sometimes we struggle with that in the workplace. We struggle with that in the schools. We struggle with that in our neighborhoods. We're filled with pride. We want to have the nicest looking car, the nicest looking house, the nicest looking clothes. Listen, be thankful you have something to drive. Be thankful you have somewhere to sleep. Be thankful you have something to wear. You know what I mean? Only pride would reveal or seek not to reveal where we get some of our clothing, right? I've met some really nice thrift stores, haven't you? Pride produces shame, it produces strife, it produces destruction. Proverbs 16 and verse 18, and this is probably a verse most familiar to you. It says, pride goes before destruction. Or some verse renderings would say, pride goes before the fall. And it says, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction. It produces destruction. Before there is trouble in a person's life, a man or a woman lifted up with pride will find himself in a place of destruction. Now, let me focus just even a little further, because 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, you know that passage that we went through? It said, love not the world nor the things in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then it tells what's characterized of the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it says, it is not of the Father, but it is of the world. You see why this is so debilitating? You see that why this is so much against God? Because it's worldly. It's on a level that certainly doesn't compete with God, but yet that very attitude that when you possess that, you are competing with God. Pride is against God. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 3, the first two verses there, tell us in the list of those things that occur in the last days that this too will characterize the last days. People will be filled with pride. Notice what it says. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times will come. They'll come and set in. And then it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, and proud. All of those are associated with pride. They love themselves. They love their money. They're boasters. They're talking about things they don't have. They're filled with pride. That will characterize the last days. That will permeate the days before Christ comes. And can I say that that's permeating the days today? Is it not? You look at our government. Our government, it's really no more corrupt than it's always been, right? It's just a lot of it's come out in the last several years. A lot of the unrestrained. And there are even scriptures that speak against that, that talk about why that has occurred the way it's happened. But I like what this one writer says. Joseph Hall says, if God spared not the angels, whom He placed in the highest heavens, but for their pride threw them down headlong to the nethermost hell, how much less shall He spare the proud dust and ashes of the sons of men, but shall cast them down from the heights of their earthly attitude to the bottom of that infernal dungeon. Humility makes men angels. Pride makes angels devils. As that father said, oh, let us be humbled by our repentance, that we may not be brought down to the everlasting confusion. Let us be cast down upon our knees, that we may not be cast down upon our faces. For God will make good His own word one way, a man's pride shall bring him low. In other words, to be brought down, to be brought in a place of humility before God is to humble yourself and strip yourself of the pride. Not be forced in eternity, or not be forced in this life to God for you to strip, for Him to strip it from you, to bring you to that place. So when you look at this attitude in relation to a believer, pride is to be hated. Pride is to be forsaken. And why is it to be forsook? Because God hates it. And that is the greatest reason, isn't it? Because God hates it. I remind you again of Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16. It says there that it is an abomination to Him. The word abomination there, the word literally means it is something disgusting. It is something abhorrent. It's something that God disgusts. It disgusts Him. So therefore, we ought to forsake it. We ought to hate it. A second reason why it's to be hated, not only because God hates it, but because we cannot fear God when we are filled with pride. You know, the greatest attribute that a believer pursues is the fear of the Lord. Notice Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 13. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. So when you seek to fear the Lord, you seek to hate evil. And you seek to recognize that pride and arrogance is part of evil. Pride and arrogance is sin. Pride and arrogance is something that you are seeking to forsake. So you treat it just like any other sin, right? But notice the second thing in our list that God hates. Also in verse 17. He says a lying tongue. God hates pride. And God hates lying. In our family, we have always taken a strong stand against lying. We have magnified the punishment to that to about the third degree. because I cannot stand a liar. Now that's just human terms. How do you think God feels? We know that this is an abomination. Verse 16. It is part of these seven things that are an abomination to Him. But if you want another verse, Proverbs 12:22 says this: lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. So we see that lying is equally an abomination to God. Just like pride is an abomination, so is lying. And it's amazing, though, that we'll tolerate pride. We'll tolerate some of the other evils. But when it comes to lying, we seem to magnitude the punishment, right? We ought to magnitude the punishment on all of these. Be honest with you. Because pride is just as destructive as lying. Let's look at some of the things that happen when you're filled with lying. First of all, we see that lying is destructive as well. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates those who are crushed by it, and a flattering mouth works ruin. A flattering mouth will ruin a person, and a lying tongue will crush those who are crushed by it. It will cause destruction. And you and I have experienced people that have lied to us. And some of us experienced it at such a level, it did cause much devastation. And you know, it's amazing that some people use lying to get themselves out of trouble, but all they're doing is digging a deeper hole. I don't say very much political, but can I please camp on this for just a minute? The President of the United States, a confessed liar. Now, what may be different about him than our past presidents is maybe he's the only one that actually got caught in it. But you know what amazes me above everything? Is that we have a professed liar that leads our country, and many of American people have forgotten all about that. And they just keep looking at what everything has done for me, how this economy is working for me, and they forget that we have a liar leading us. Now, I know that won't be for much longer, but can I say this? Please vote a biblical conscience. Don't vote for your pocketbook. You know what I mean? We got people up there that are running that are murderers. You say, well, gosh, that's a strong thing to say. Listen, they believe in abortion. That's murder. Isn't it? I don't believe a life should be taken for any reason. They always use this excuse, the life of the mother. There's hardly ever been an occasion for that to happen. To take a baby because the mother was going to die in that process. I've seen the opposite occur where they're told that the mother's going to lose her life and she not only delivers a healthy baby, but she comes through that as well. Healthy and fine. We ought to vote our conscience. And we ought to have a conscience that's been taken captive by the Word of God, not by the opinions of men, right? Lying is destructive. It's also deceptive. Proverbs 10 and verse 18 says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. The person who hides hatred, the person who has hatred in his heart, has lying lips, he says here. Lying is deceptive. Going back to the situation with our president, look at all the people he deceived. Look at all the people that work with him, his staff that he deceived. There are many people that actually believed him. Many American people that believed him. Be honest with you, we ought to be outraged over it. And not just sit back and take a seat with it. You know, that's what Psalm chapter 1 tells us not to do, to take a seat with the scornful. He calls himself a Southern Baptist. To be honest with you, we ought to separate as far as we can from someone of his character that says he's a Southern Baptist when he does nothing but promote everything that is against God. He promotes abortion. He promotes lesbianism, homosexuality. Obviously, he promotes lying. Professes these things. And if I could say anything that's happened in the last 6 years, that a lot of this stuff has come out of the closet. It's been there, but we've had a good restraint on it, haven't we? But in this administration, the doors have been flying wide open. I read some reports yesterday about Al Gore, the guy who was the inventor of the Internet, by the way. He didn't invent the Internet, nor did he invent half of the other things that he's claimed. Now, I'm not trying to debunk all of these people. I'm just saying, listen, we need to check these guys out that are leading our country and then vote our conscience. I use our president as an example because
he has been found out to be a liar. And the Bible says, as an example, that lying is destructive, lying is deceptive. And let me say this, Psalm 31 and verse 18 tells us that lying will be silenced. God will deal with liars. It says, let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. We are called the religious right wing. That's what we're called. If you're a Christian, you go to church, you seek to live a moral life, you're called the religious right. And that is not a compliment. It's not. Lying lips will be silenced. Proverbs 12:19 says, lying lips will be stopped by God. God will stop it. It says, the truthful lips should be established forever, but a lying tongue, but for a moment. Now, lying has been practiced by everybody. You and I have participated in that in our lifetime. Some of us may be participating in it now, living a life of lying. And that's dangerous ground to tread on. It's just as dangerous as pride. But let me say this. Any of these sins that you give your life habit over to illustrates the possibility that you're not even saved. Have you thought about it that way? If you have a habit of lying, you have a habit of giving yourself over to pride, these things that are an abomination to God, it gives evidence of the possibility that you're not saved. Because if sin is the habit of your life, for a believer, it's not. Let me give you some illustration. As this being practiced by all, you go back to the very beginning of the Bible, very beginning of the creation. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, we see Satan lied to Eve. She said, the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Was that a lie? It certainly was. God told them they could eat of any fruit in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they couldn't eat of that. From the day that they would eat of it, they would surely die. That's what God said to them. But Satan said to Eve, you will not surely die. That was a lie. And she believed the lie, didn't she? How about Abraham? Did Abraham lie? A man who was called a friend of God? A man who believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness? According to Genesis chapter 12 and verse 11 and following, Abraham lied to Pharaoh. And listen to what it says. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, that was before her name was changed, indeed I know that you are a woman of a beautiful countenance. You're a very beautiful woman. What happened when the Egyptians see you, that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will let you live. Please say that you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, that I may live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, as she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and committed her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken to Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, what is this that you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way. Now she may really have been his sister. But he deceived Pharaoh, didn't he? He lied. That was lying. His sons did the same thing. Jacob lied to Isaac in Genesis 27:19. You remember when Jacob was old and he couldn't see? And he was going to bless the firstborn who was Esau? What happened here? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done just as you told me. Please arise, sit and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me. See, he deceived his father. He lied to him. That was lying. But this situation with Abraham to Pharaoh, Isaac did the same thing. I mean, the exact same thing when he lied to Abimelech. In Genesis 26:7, it says, and the men of the place asked about his wife, and he said, she is my sister. He said the same thing. For he was afraid to say she is my wife because he thought, lest the men of the place kill me for Rebekah because she is beautiful to behold. He did the very same thing his father did. Fathers, that is a warning to us. Our kids watch us. They copy us. They do what we say. And they do what we do. We better be doing the right things. Right? Jacob's sons. They lied to Jacob in Genesis 37:32. You remember that coat of many colors that Joseph had? And you remember when Joseph was sold as a slave to Egypt? What happened there? After they took him out of the pit and sold him, and one of his brothers came back, I think it was Reuben, he freaked out. Because he was going to let him go. But no, they took an animal, they killed it, and they put the blood on that coat. And this is what happened. Then they sent the tunic of many colors and they brought it to their father and they said, "We have found this. Do you know whether it's your son's tunic or not?" They were lying. They were deceptive. Let me give you a more modern situation. Look over with me to Acts chapter 5. Here's a situation that happened in the church. Acts chapter 5. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to Peter. And it's found here in Acts chapter 5. It says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it to the apostles' feet. But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" You see, they had a piece of land. And everybody in the church was selling what they had, and they was giving it to the church. And Sapphira, for some reason or another, said, "We got this piece of land, we're going to sell it." We sold this land, and they promised to give all of the proceeds, and they kept back part of it. You say, well, what's wrong with that? They lied. How did God deal with this? Look at verse 5. "Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last." He died right there in that situation. And then it says, "So great fear came upon all those who heard these things." You better believe it. You think that brought a purging in the church? That God killed a liar? It says, "And the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him." It was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered and said, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. And so great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. That produced the holy fear, didn't it? God dealt with their lying. Lying has been practiced by all, but listen, it is to be forsaken by all. All of us are to forsake it. Now, I was reading this week in Leviticus. Leviticus is a blessing to read. I don't mean that so sarcastically, but I'm saying all the offerings that are found there. I found in chapter 6 of Leviticus, the first 7 verses, that dealt with this issue of lying. So who is to forsake lying? First of all, let's say Israel. Because God gave specific instruction about lying. Let me read it to you. Leviticus 6, beginning verse 1. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'If a person sins and commits a trespass against the Lord by lying to his neighbor about what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or about a pledge, or about a robbery, or if he is extorted from his neighbor, or if he has found what was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely in any one of these things that a man may do in which he sins, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore what he has stolen, or the thing which he has extorted, or what was delivered to him for safekeeping, or the lost thing which he found, or of all that about which he has sworn falsely, he shall restore its full value, add 1/5 more to it, and give to it to whomever it belongs on the day of his trespass offering. And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord, a ram without blemish from the flock, with your valuation as a trespass offering to the priest. So the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he shall be forgiven for any one of these things that he may have done in which he has trespassed." So God gave specific instruction to Israel about this issue of lying. They were to offer a trespass offering for their lying. This is the passage I was thinking of a few minutes ago when I was talking about leaders. It's found in Proverbs 29 and verse 12. This is a verse you can meditate on, and you can just think back of all the things that have been occurring in our country, and this verse is having its fulfillment. The second person that is to forsake, or the second group that is to forsake lying, are rulers. Proverbs 29, 12 says, "If a ruler pays attention to lies, all his servants become wicked." Did you get that? If a ruler pays attention to lies, all of his servants become wicked. You know, right before that last election that we had, did you notice that many people in the Clinton administration bailed ship? They jumped boat because they thought it was coming down on him. But I'll tell you what, there are many people that have been associated with all the things going on that are just as wicked as the one leading it. If a ruler pays attention to lies, all of his servants become wicked. If I was to give myself to lying, well, first of all, I'd hope you'd catch it immediately and deal with it. But if you didn't catch it, it would fester throughout the fellowship. You know that? See, that's what's so amazing about lying. It's so deceptive. Sometimes it does take a little while to find it out, right? Third group, that is forsake lying. This is not an exhaustive list, but I just phrase it this way. Believers are to forsake lying.
These are just two of the things that are listed in Proverbs 6 that the Bible tells us that God hates. The title of our message today is The Things That God Hates, and it's taken from Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. This message is made available today on cassette tape for $3, on CD for $5, or you can download the MP3 from our website for $1. To place your order today, call us at 904-651-3351, or visit us online at changebygrace.org. You can write us at P.O. Box 26041, Jacksonville, Florida 32226. Change by Grace is a ministry of Change by Grace Community Church in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more about our ministry, just call or write us. Well, I'm Pastor Steve Herford, and I want to thank you for listening today. This message that you've heard today is made available at our website. Again, just visit us at changebygrace.org. Well, until next time, I hope that you'll be in the Word of God and that you'll walk by the power of God's Spirit.